Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Nice to have you here. I was just thinking about my first parish. I was up on the Iron Range, two little churches and townships, Embarrass and Pike Township. And in Pike Township, you were either inside the church or outside the church. And the ushers, as soon as they got everybody seated, there were seven rows on each side. And every Sunday it was packed. The ushers, as soon as everyone was seated, they'd go outside and have a smoke. And they'd listen to see when that windy preacher would get done. Then they'd come in and take the offering. That reminds me, today we're going to receive an offering for the blessing box. Guess what went out this month? Last month it was the furnace. This month it's the dishwasher. One of the seals on there must have hardened up and it's leaking water, so... Anyway, if you've got if God has blessed you, or should we wait till the summer folks get back? That's the other thing. Next week, we got to make sure and turn our clocks forward, okay? We lose that hour already. Wow. Hasn't that gone bad fast? Anyway, I haven't checked the coffee. And last year we received, we decided that if everyone would bring a can of coffee on that Sunday, you know, there had been some talk about taking an offering for our coffee hour. Well, I don't like doing that. I mean, this is coffee. We're hospitality. Let's welcome. Let's have a cup of coffee. People love the coffee here. Let's not charge for the coffee. So a year ago, we thought, well, if everyone would bring a can of coffee, we'd do that whenever we change seasons. Well, we got so much coffee, we didn't have to do it last fall. If you'd like to bring coffee next week, that'll be great. If you don't bring it next week, when we change in the fall, bring a can of coffee, okay? Let's do that then. This week, my daughter in Duluth had their first baby, so I am a grandfather again, a grandson. And I know all of you folks think your grandkids are the greatest, but I got to hold my grandson, whose name is Bodie. B-O-D-H-I. Yeah. We will not go there. But I held him for 3 hours, and he was the perfect baby. And I found out that he is allergic to kryptonite. That means that he's Superboy. And so all your grandkids, forget about it, because I have Superboy, okay? Anyway, that's a real blessing in our life. Today, I'd like you to remember, and we'll all remember, the people down south of us who had these terrible thunderstorms and tornadoes go through their lives. You know, as much as we complain about our weather up here, we're safe. And we live where people come to vacation. Life is a vacation for us. We've got it made. Thank you, Lord. And but to whom much is given, much is expected. So let's remember those folks in our prayers, all right? Let's begin with a prayer. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your love and your presence in our lives. We thank you for your message that has come down through the eons of time, your spirit that has touched even us, that we would gather on Sunday mornings here to give you our thanks and praise. Today, as we gather around your holy table, we ask for your presence in our lives. Allow us to be patient as we wait for the coming kingdom. We know we live in a broken world, but we pray that we might be like your Son, who brings hope and love and peace wherever we travel. So send your Spirit this morning, Lord, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We know we're close to summer when our choir is back. And this is a skeleton choir, so I'm sure Jack, I heard you sing in the fish house this winter. you can stay in the pews, but the rest of you, we practice on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock, right? And everybody is welcome. It's a wonderful time. It's a great thing to be able to praise the Lord. So thanks for another year, and thank you, Darwin, for leading us. Let's open up with our hymn 324. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let's join together in praying the prayer of the day. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Sent from the Father to be our Savior, set above all things, first place on earth. You gave your life to give life eternal. There is no gift more precious than this. Jesus, Jesus, Lord of earth and heaven, always was and
first lesson this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17. As with Noah, God makes an everlasting covenant with Abraham and Sarah. God promises this old couple that they will be the ancestors of nations, though they have no child together. God will miraculously bring forth new life from Sarah's old womb. The name changes emphasize the firmness of God's promise. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her." Here ends the first reading. Psalm today is Psalm 22. The refrain is, "All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord." The congregation, please read in the bold print. "You who fear the Lord, give praise. All of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel."
For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor and the poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from him. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them.
"From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord."
The Lord shall lead and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow down before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Their descendants shall serve the Lord, whom they shall proclaim to generations to come.
They shall proclaim God's deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted."
All the ends of the earth shall remember.
Here ends the readings. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this second Sunday in Lent is found in the 8th chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 31st verse. After Peter confesses his belief that Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus tells his disciples for the first time what is to come. Peter's response indicates that he does not yet understand the way of the cross that Jesus will travel. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 803. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You've probably heard the ridiculous story about the man who was refused entry into this fancy supper club because he wasn't wearing a tie. The doorman took him to the side and told him the instructions were that, you know, you can only enter if you've got a tie wrapped around your neck. So the guy left, went out in his car and searched around, and finally in the trunk he found a set of jumper cables and he wrapped it around and kind of fixed it as a tie. So he returned to the door of the club, and the doorman saw the jumper cables around his neck and realized that technically that they could serve as a tie. So he said, "Well, I guess you can come in. Just don't start anything." Bad joke. But here's where the message begins today. The people in history who have impacted us the most in our lives were people who were determined to start something. Huh? Nearly 2,000 years before Jesus himself, God came to a man named Abram, gave him a command and a promise. He was to go into the land that he would give him. He'd leave his father. God would show him a new land. And God would cause him to be a great nation. And then we read one of the most important statements in all of literature. So Abram went as the Lord told him. So Abram went as the Lord told him. Did I mention that Abram was 75 years old? He leaves his father, goes, follows God. After he approaches him, and yet with God leading, Abram starts something. He starts a new people. He starts a new nation. This, by the way, is what faith is. God speaks, we obey. That's what faith is. God speaks, we obey. We get into action. Sometimes that's all that's needed. Our biggest obstacle to following God is often our lethargy, huh? We simply need to get moving, need to get going. Today's lesson takes place nearly 25 years after God approaches Abram, though. Abram's 99 years old now when this section that Kathy read is written. He's no spring chicken. 99 years old. He's older than you, Lloyd. By a little. He's followed the Lord's leading from the time the Lord called him when he was 75 years old. But the Lord has been slow to reward Abram's faith. He has a wife named Sarai here. Still childless. How can Abram father a great nation when he and Sarai can't produce a single heir? That's faith too. Patience. Persistence. Trust. Patience, persistence, trust. That's faith. Huh? Surely Abram and Sarah were ready to give up. 99 years old. That's 25 years later. No return on the investment. He left his father, started off, followed God. Nothing happened. When do you cut your losses? When do you say, that was all just an illusion? When do you figure out that this promise didn't pan out? That could have been their attitude. But instead, they still choose to trust God here. And the Lord appears to Abram again after 25 years. The Lord reaffirms the promise of long ago. This time it's stated more fully. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you and kings will come from you. And God changes Abram's name to Abraham. And Sarai's name to Sarah. And of course, God kept his promise. At 90 years of age, Sarah bears a son. And from that son came countless heirs to Abraham, both physical dependents and spiritual descendants, of whom you and I are still numbered. You and I come from Abram and Sarai, Abraham and Sarah. And those descendants have impacted the world in a mighty way. It's an amazing story. There are some lessons from this Abraham and Sarah's life that you and I need to see this morning. The first lesson is that our timetable may not be God's timetable. The way we think things ought to run may not be the way God has got things planned. Huh? As someone has put it, God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. A guy named Dr. Ray Pritchard gave us a humorous chronology of the 25 years between the first time God promised Abram and Sarah offspring and the time when that promise is fulfilled. So that was at age 75 when Abraham first meets God. At age 76, he hears that promise and he goes out and buys a crib. Then at 78, they go through a list of possible boys' names. At age 80, they order a supply of super absorbent Pampers. At 85, Abram goes out hunting while Sarah's friends throw her a little baby shower. At 86, they put up wallpaper in the baby's room. At 89, they purchase the new Parent magazine and get on that list. At 93, Abraham and Sarah start Lamaze classes. Let's breathe, breathe, breathe. 96, Abraham takes a practice run to the hospital. At 98, he packs the suitcase and sets it by the tent door. At 99, Abraham scratches his head and said, I wonder if God was just kidding me. I think I would have decided that God was kidding me, but I'm not Abraham. I'm a bit impatient, and I suspect you folks are like that too. I read recently about a lawsuit in India that was filed in the year 1205. A man named Maloji Thorat filed his suit. And here's what is remarkable about this lawsuit. It was filed in 1205, but it wasn't until 1966, 761 years later, that it was solved. By the way, they ruled in Thorat's favor. Obviously, it didn't do him a lot of good, but his offspring, the inheritance, they got a few thousand rupees out of the deal, huh? That's a long time for a family to wait for justice, 761 years. Abraham and Sarah, they only had to wait 25 years. But that was surely a test of their faith. That's a test that many of us would have failed. wait 25 years. None of us likes waiting. We grow impatient. We want things done now. We want answers now. Even with God, we want answers now. And yet God is faithful to his promises. That's what this lesson is about. We shall yet be rewarded if we don't grow weary. Our timetable is not the same as God's timetable. God's promises delayed are not God's promises denied. I'm thinking, I've got this dream about senior housing back here. I mentioned that 4 or 5 years ago. It may not happen in my lifetime, but I hope one day we get some senior housing so Bob and Lee Krieger don't have to move to Prior Lake. Can you imagine more? Well, we won't go there. Face that traffic, holy smokes. Anyway, none of us like waiting, huh? We grow impatient even with God. There's a second thing that we need to see about Abraham and Sarah's life. God's purposes are grander than our own imaginations can envision. Abraham and Sarah, I'm sure, had dreams for their lives just as you and I had dreams for our lives when we were younger, huh? They dreamed about where they would live and the kind of work they would do. They dreamed about children and grandchildren. That's a dream that they nearly missed out on, but still they dreamed. However, do you think that ever in a million years that they dreamed that we would be sitting here in a church today, nearly 4,000 years later, telling their personal story? I mean, not only their story, but there's about a billion Christians that are telling their story. And not only that, you count up the Muslims and the Jews, there's another billion people that are telling their story. They couldn't see that their lives were part of this greater purpose that existed in the mind of God. I mean, this is something really special. So this older couple, you know, as they waited and waited and waited and had faith, God really took care of them. I think you and I think way too small. We think way too small. If we could only imagine what God can do with our lives. Let me give you an example. Way back in 1858, a Sunday school teacher in Chicago named Ezra Kimball became interested in a young guy who was selling shoes at the shoe store. And he wanted to witness to him about who Jesus was. And he didn't know how to do it. He walked back and forth. And finally he went in, proceeded to talk with the young man about his faith. This shoe clerk showed such interest in who Jesus was that his name was Dwight L. Moody. Moody ended up becoming one of the greatest evangelists of the time in the 1800s. But that's just the beginning. Moody went on to preach at a revival meeting in England in 1879. There awakened in the heart of a guy named Frederick Meyer that he became a pastor and one of the greatest theologians in England at the time. In fact, later Meyer came over to preach in Moody's school in Northfield, Massachusetts. And there he gave the message that if you're not willing to give up everything for Christ, are you willing to be made willing? And in those words was a fellow by the name of Wilbur Chaplin. And Chaplin became the cornerstone of the whole YMCA movement, which was a Christian organization at the time. And among those that Chapman recruited into the ministry and into following Jesus was a professional baseball player. That baseball player was a remarkable figure named Billy Sunday, and Billy Sunday went on to become the greatest evangelist of his generation. And later on at a revival in Charlotte, North Carolina, Billy Sunday witnessed to a group that a fellow by the name of Mordecai Ham came to Jesus. Ham became a great, great, great evangelist speaker. And in one of his revival meetings that he led, a young man heard the gospel and made his profession of faith. His name was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, you know all the people he touched. And today, because of Billy Graham, Wally Swenson has heard the gospel message and has followed Jesus. Do you think that this Sunday school teacher, 150 years before, trying to get his courage up to share his faith with a shoe salesman, knew that he was going to touch people like Dwight L. Moody and Frederick Meyer and William Chapman and Billy Sunday and Mordecai Hamm and Billy Graham and Wally Swenson and you and me. You and I, in the great scheme of things, we think way too small. We think way too small. God has imagined great things for us, for our lives, for your life and mine. Greater than we can ever envision, if we would just trust him. God's timetable is not our timetable. God's purposes are greater than our minds can possibly imagine. But there's one more thing we need to see. It's in trusting God that our lives find the greatest fulfillment. Following Christ is not just about building God's kingdom. It's about discovering the abundant life that God has for us if we just trust him and put our lives in his hands. Huh? What I'm saying to you is this. When you follow God's leadership, you not only play a part in God's plan for creation, but you find the most fulfilling life for yourself as well. You'll find joy, and you'll find peace, and you'll find happiness. Sure, the storms will rise in our lives, and we know that, but even in the midst of storms, we can find hope, huh? Abraham and Sarah did as God commanded, and God rewarded them way beyond their wildest dreams. Not quite as quickly as they thought he would. God's timetable's not our timetable, but God rewarded them far beyond anything they could ever imagine. They became a blessing to the entire world. And they had a rich and fulfilling life as well. So, I suppose, can we? So can we have that blessed life. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. The congregation, please rise. Please turn to the offering prayer on page 4. Let us pray. God, our provider, you have not fed us with bread alone, but with words of grace and life. Bless us in these your gifts, which we receive from your bounty, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We cry to you for help, O God, praying for the church, the world, and all those who are in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Let us pray for the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, for the Church's leaders and all its people, for every local community of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for this planet we call home, for the oceans we have polluted with oil, for the land we have piled with garbage, for the species we have endangered. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for the multitude of nations, for Jews, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and others of different faiths than our own, and for those without a community of faith. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for couples longing for children, for families that are separated, for children in foster care, for people with disabilities, and for all in need of healing. We especially ask you to be with Mel Hummon and Artie Kendall this week as they go through surgeries or run through tests. Be with Dean and Linda Newman and Darwin and all those others who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for this assembly, for those who read the lessons and lead music, for greeters and ushers, for Sunday school teachers and students, for long-time members and first-time visitors. Lord, in your mercy. We especially ask, O Lord, that you will be with those who have suffered hurt or harm in the tornadoes in this country. We pray, O Lord, that you will be with little baby Angela and all those others like her who need love and care. If you can use us to reach out, we pray that our hearts are big enough to do that. So comfort them in their mourning. We ask your blessing to be with our families, young and old. Be with each one of us on our journeys here through life. Allow us to fully trust in your presence in our lives. Let us give thanks for those who have lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. Encourage us also to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow you, Lord, in your mercy. Now is the acceptable time to offer our prayers to you, God of grace and truth. Receive them in your mercy and grant us all that we need, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Let's confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. He ascended to heaven. He is seated in the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Jesus, at his Last Supper, continued the covenant that God had made with Abraham and Sarah, and said, I will make a new promise. He took bread, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body that is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
All are welcome at the Lord's table. Today we will dip our bread into the wine, which is dark, or the grape juice, which is light. Table is set. Come eat and drink. Will the congregation please rise? The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our homes making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts, through Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is Lift High the Cross, 660.